good afternoon. This is Bob Kruger with Thought for Food for January of 2023. This program is heard on the third Wednesday of the month at 4 p.m. and repeated on the third Saturday of the month at 3 p.m. It's intended for a blind and print impaired audience, but hopefully it'll be of interest to everyone. We observe New Year's Day on the 1st. We still need to make a few resolutions to keep us thinking positively. Those who observe Old Christmas celebrate on the 6th. Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday will be observed on the 16th. Franklin D. Roosevelt and Robert E. Lee also had January birthdays. The new year often brings news of openings and closings of food businesses, and here are some examples. The picturesque Honeysuckle Tea House in Chapel Hill, which became an outdoor refuge for some in the pandemic, has closed to the public. Built as something of the treehouse, oasis, and garden on an Orange County farmland, Honeysuckle has been an artisan beverage destination in the Triangle since it opened in 2014 by Tim and Megan Tobin. Honeysuckle specialized in teas and herbs grown on the farm. Current owner Jeff Fisher said Honeysuckle will be available as an event space, but its days as a cafe are over, at least for now. He said the community will miss the space, but the weekend cafe wasn't profitable, especially tied to the whims of the weather. We were losing a lot of money, which is one thing you can't do for long, he said. Everyone loved the place, and we knew people would be disappointed. Mr. Fisher and Honeysuckle announced the closing on social media. During the pandemic, the Honeysuckle brand expanded to Durham, turning the former Truck Radio Country Fair into Honeysuckle at Lakewood. Instead of hosting a variety of food trucks, Honeysuckle at Lakewood morphed into a restaurant, bar, and meadery. But after a brief shutdown, it's changing back. We're migrating back to the food truck idea, Mr. Fisher said. We're going to look at that model again. The new Honeysuckle at Lakewood was to open in October with a reconfigured bar and serving food from the Honeysuckle food truck. Eventually, Mr. Fisher and other local food trucks will rotate through the space and serve dinners. People are going to a lot more counter service and order model instead of a full wait staff. A lot of things have changed since Honeysuckle bought Country Fair. We feel this is a good fit. We're trying to simplify it, Mr. Fisher reported. He said Honeysuckle has partnered with Cary's Fortnite Brewing and its management team on the reopening. Honeysuckle at Lakewood is located at 1920 Chapel Hill Road in Durham. More than 4 years after being named America's Best Burger and nearly 3 years after filing for bankruptcy, Chapel Hill's Al's Burger Shack has been sold. The Chapel Hill burger brand with two locations was purchased by two UNC Chapel Hill graduates, Charles Ferris and Jason Kessler, who own several Jersey Mike's sub-franchises across the state. Al's Burger Shop was founded by husband and wife Al and Melody Bowers, who have owned or operated multiple Chapel Hill restaurants over the years. At the height of the Burger King's Burger Shack's success, there were three locations. Planned for a fourth location in Durham's Bar Beer Study were ultimately canceled in 2020. There are two currently operating, Al's Burger Shack in Chapel Hill, with the Governor's Village location closing in the summer of 2020. The new owners took possession on December 5, 2022, and took over operations the next day. In 2018, the Robo Chili cheeseburger at Al's was named by TripAdvisor as the best burger in America based on compiling of online reviews. The response was enormous. The lines up and down Franklin Street the weekend the announcement was made. Mr. Ferris said, I was a customer first. It's a great product. Don't expect any immediate changes to the project. Among the possible future tweaks to Al's, Mr. Ferris said he's considering expanding hours and opening at 11 a.m. instead of noon and closing an hour later at 9 p.m. Days of service could expand with possible future addition of Sunday or Monday hours. it's good to learn that Al's Burger Shack will continue to operate. Longleaf Swine, one of Raleigh's most anticipated restaurants for years, opened in November, serving a distinctive style of barbecue, honoring the state's tradition, while also looking to the future. As Raleigh's barbecue revival continues, Longleaf Swine brings a new open-all-day model to downtown Raleigh, serving market-style smoked meats in the day and transforming into a smash-burger-centric diner at night. Owned by Adam Cunningham and Mark Russell, with Ben Davis as a partner, Longleaf Swine renovated the former Oakwood Cafe into a counter-style restaurant with a sprawling front porch stretching along Person Street. The restaurant is located at 300 East Eden Street in Raleigh. Longleaf Swine has been the barbecue project of Cunningham and Russell for 3 years. Initially, it was planned as a narrow barbecue, bourbon, and cheap beer bar in the Transfer Company Food Hall in Raleigh. But during the pandemic and with the availability of the Oakwoods Cafe space, they decided to expand their barbecue dreams. In nearly 3 years built out, the brand has survived on weekly pop-ups around Raleigh and holiday catering sales. As the name implies, Longleaf Swine pays homage to North Carolina's oldest barbecue traditions, with whole hog style barbecue at its heart. They plan to work with local meat producer First Hand Foods. We want to keep some of the traditional things about barbecue alive. It's the best way to utilize the whole animal. They say that Longleaf is devoted to involving North Carolina barbecue without cutting corners. That means you'll find brisket along the whole hog, but the only heat will be from wood-fired coals. We're doing old-school techniques. We're paying ode to barbecue history. Longleaf Swine peeled back the layers on the Oakwood Cafe, digging down to the bones of the building, a former Texaco gas station. They found windows behind cinder barks and built the 8x10 square foot smoker into the old service bay. But in the renovation, Longleaf Swine built one of the city's most ambitious new outdoor spaces, a mid-century metal roof overlooking 90 seats of picnic tables and bar stools. The entire restaurant will have a seating for 120. Despite being a barbecue joint, Longleaf Swine has one of the city's most popular smash burgers. At night, possibly once all the barbecue has been sold out, they will don a new persona, the Swiner Diner, where eaters can order at the tables via QR codes, finding smash burgers and other bites that don't take a dozen hours to smoke. Mr. Russell has cooked in some of Raleigh's finest restaurants and brings that experience and creativity to Longleaf Swine. Expect to see dishes like smoked duck on occasion, as well as vegan options, broadening the barbecue umbrella. We're emerging from the pandemic, and the way we look at restaurants needs to be a little more inclusive, Mr. Davis says. Whether you call it new or old school, we're just trying to provide a product that is ready, really, for everyone. It seems they have a great plan and are making their plan work. Mom, Dad, I'm bored. How many parents have heard this from their children? It may not make parents feel like they're failing, need to find something for the child to do, or simply annoyed that children seem incapable of entertaining themselves. Yet a little boredom for children and adults can be a good thing. It can stimulate creativity and problem-solving, which gives the brain time to recharge. Well, why do people get bored? The feeling of boredom is when brains struggle to fill time. People may feel restless or have a lack of interest in their surroundings. Boredom is common, with over 60% of U.S. adults reporting they feel bored at least once a week. People's brains rarely are bored when focused on taking part in demanding tasks like work or school, or when taking part in a good conversation. When these activities are done, people experience fatigue and seek ways to entertain themselves and their brains. Play and entertainment have been ways that humans have figured out to overcome boredom. Adults read, spend time with hobbies, or tell stories to avoid boredom. Before the advent of TV and mobile devices, children overcame boredom by going outside or playing with a friend or a sibling. Today, electronics captures a significant amount of people's attention. Instead of short-term relief from boredom, many people spend hours on electronics. It's easy not to feel the passage of time when you're strolling through social media sites. Quickly, an hour or two can pass without a person realizing it. And for all the time spent, people don't necessarily feel refreshed. Rather, most people experience greater fatigue. Consuming so much time on electronics lessens the amount of board time, but it also causes a different problem. The less people experience boredom, the less equipped the brain is to deal with it. When your brain is focused on an activity, it exerts a lot of energy. And when you finish the activity, it returns to a default state. This is normal in the way the brains restore. The default state can be thought of as a resting place. Several interconnected brain regions are active during this time. The regions seem to act in unison as a connecting network. This is referred to as a default mode network. When people are in this state, many important things are happening in the brain. It's consolidating memories and reflecting on lessons learned. The brain plays through scenarios and applies what was learned and how it could be used in the future. People spend time thinking about themselves and others. They reminisce about the past and daydream about the future. The resting state also can be a creative time, and it can lead to finding creative additions to problems that are bothering people. For example, many people claim to come up with great solutions they are grappling with while in the shower. This is because their mind is free to wander while their body is engaged in a task that requires no concentration. While in the shower, the person can't escape or play a game on the phone. The brain is thinking through something almost effortlessly and often coming up with solutions to problems that have been in the back of the mind. Another example is when a person takes a nature walk. During this time, it's a safe and calm environment. Within the first 5 minutes, the person will gradually get used to the environment, reducing anxiety. The rest of the walk, the brain starts to rest and wander. And when a new stimulus comes in, the mind identifies it, but returns to the restful state. During this time, the brain is involved in creative thinking and finding interesting solutions. Here are some suggestions on how to overcome boredom. Balance activities with rest. It's good to have a variety of activities that you enjoy, including socializing with others and are mentally stimulating. Your rest time is important to recharge your brain. Seek a balance between structured activities and intermittent rest, time to increase your creative thinking. Try something new. Join a club. Try a new hobby. Read a book or cook a new recipe to ignite your creativity and provide a distraction from boredom. Get outdoors. Spend time with nature is one of the best ways to ward off boredom. It also promotes creative thinking. Embrace curiosity and kindness. This will get you involved with people in the world around you. Embrace reminiscing. Reminiscing is a big part of time spent as people age. It's normal and expected. If excessive reminiscing becomes a problem, try to think about current or future goals and wishes for a few minutes. Boredom can be more uncomfortable or distressing for people feeling fearful, anxious, or depressed. If this is the case, they should seek professional help to work through their feelings and develop healthy coping skills. Don't be afraid of boredom. It's a normal part of life. Try not to dismiss or dislike it. Instead, try to view it as an opportunity to restore your brain and develop solutions to problems. All this information came from the Mayo Clinic News Network. In last month's program, we mentioned the invention of a company that grows meat in a laboratory. Founded by an Israeli professor in 2018 as Future Meat Technologies, in 2020, the company changed their name to Believer Meats. Growing chicken and hogs is big business in North Carolina. Now a company that grows its meat in a lab instead of in barns is looking to eastern North Carolina for the location of its first commercial-scale facility. Believer Meats is investing more than $123 million to build a manufacturing facility in Wilson Corporate Park. When complete, the Wilson facility will employ about 100 people, with Believer targeting production of about 22 million pounds of meat a year. The company operates a pilot plant in Israel and was looking for somewhere to scale up production. The announcement came less than a month after the U.S. Food and Drug Administration made Upside Foods the first company to receive key regulatory approvals for lab-grown chicken. Upside still needs to get approvals from the USDA before it can go to the market. They're working toward those approvals as well. North Carolina's leadership in agribusiness and biotechnology, combined with the largest and most diverse manufacturing workforce in the southeastern United States, will help the company meet the future food demands of a growing world population, North Carolina Commerce Secretary Michelle Baker Sanders said in a written statement. Average annual wages at the Wilson facility will be $60,087, according to an announcement from Governor Roy Cooper's office. The project will receive a $500,000 grant from One North Carolina Fund, although Believer Meats must hit capital investments and job creation targets to receive any payment. The CEO of Believer Meats said in an interview he believes that food is something that's going to become scarce in the not-too-distant future. I'm sure you have seen the projections on what that are publicly available. We look at the development that's happening, that we are bringing to the market an opportunity to advance the cause of making sure that food for people is provided for. The next question was, why North Carolina? And he replied, we went through a very extensive search for almost 9 months to eventually land in North Carolina. We saw probably over 100 sites across the United States. We evaluated, we visited. I would say it came down to kind of three main things. Number one, the business climate in North Carolina is very rich. There's a lot of economic development going on. Number two, the university system. The college system here is extremely strong, and I was lucky enough to go to school at one of these colleges here. He earned a master's degree in mechanical engineering from North Carolina State University. And third, Wilson County itself. There's a lot that Wilson County has done to advance technology and business. We look forward to more news of this interesting project proceeds. We know, or we think we know, how it feels to have not had enough sleep. Have you ever thought it might make us less generous? Empathy and generosity are two traits that arguably make the world go round. But a study suggests that the willingness to help collapses when people don't get enough sleep. To see how sleep affects how much humans help each other, researchers conducted three experiments designed to examine the issue from the individual to the social scale. These results were published in PLOS Biology. In the first experiment, researchers performed functional magnetic resonance imaging scans of the brain and asked questions to 24 adults after 8 hours of sleep and then after a night with no sleep. When they were well rested, the participants scored well on a helping behavior test. But after sleep deprivation, 78% had less of a desire to help others, even when it came to family and friends. The scan shows that areas of the brain associated with social cognition, our thought process related to other people, were less active with sleep deprivation. The second experiment tracked 136 healthy adults over 4 nights and asked them questions about helping the following day. The effect held for them, too, and those reported worse sleep quality scored worse on the tests. To test the effects on a social level, the researchers then looked at a database of 3 million charitable donations given between 2001 and 2016. They found that immediately following daylight saving time, a notorious sleep disturber, donations dropped 10%. The effect wasn't found in Hawaii or Arizona. However, neither state observes daylight saving time, nor did the shift back to standard time have such an association with donations. Well, why bother studying how helpful people are who don't get enough shut-eye. We're starting to see more and more studies where the effects of sleep loss doesn't just stop at the individual, but spreads to those around us, says Ette Ben Simon, a scientist at the University of California at Berkeley who co-wrote the study. If you're not getting enough sleep, it doesn't just hurt your own well-being, it hurts the well-being of your entire social circles, including strangers. There's a silver lining to all of this ungenerous behavior, the researchers write. Unlike personality traits, sleep can be modified, and both getting enough and helping others do the same might make for a better world. The story makes me want to examine my reaction when I don't get enough sleep. A Wall Street Journal story tells of upcoming job layoffs at PepsiCo Company. The terminations are affecting workers at the headquarters of its North American Snacks and Beverage Division, a signal that corporate belt tightening is extending beyond the tech and the media. Hundreds of jobs will be eliminated. The cuts affect the company's North American beverage business, which is based in Purchase, New York, and its North American snack and packaged food business, which had headquarters in Chicago and Plano, Texas. In a memo, PepsiCo told employees the layoffs are intended to simplify the organization so we can operate more efficiently. The cuts will be heavier in the beverage industry because the snacks unit had trimmed positions with a voluntary retirement program. PepsiCo makes Doritos, Lay's potato chips, and Quaker Oat products, along with its namesake, Coca-Cola. And as of December of 2021, they employed about 300,000 people worldwide, including about 125,000 in the United States. Demand for food and beverages sold in grocery stores is growing, despite raising prices. PepsiCo and other food companies have been raising prices to offset higher prices for ingredients, transportation, and labor. After reporting a jump in quarterly sales and profit, PepsiCo executives in October said they were cutting costs to offset the pressure on profit margins and to weather what appears to be worsening microeconomic conditions. The overall limited pool of workers in bidding up wages despite an uncertain economic outlook. PepsiCo joined other companies, including Walmart and Ford Motor Company, that have been trimming white-collar workers even as they hold on to frontline staff. All companies need people who are at ease dealing with the public. Are you like many of us? Do you try to remember which is the good fat to use in your kitchen? If you're confused about whether to use unsaturated fats, polyunsaturated, monounsaturated fats while cooking, it's understandable. It can be confusing. Dr. Regis Fernandez, a Mayo Clinic cardiologist, says fats that raise your bad cholesterol levels and increase your risk for heart disease are the ones to avoid. Saturated fat is the type that solidifies in room temperature, he said. Coconut oil is an example. So is palm oil. Saturated fat consumption is directly related to the cholesterol levels in the blood. Two types of unsaturated fats are considered healthy fats. You have polyunsaturated fats and you have monounsaturated fats. Those two types of fats are considered the good fats because they do not raise the LDL cholesterol, Dr. Fernandez says. LDL is low-density lipoprotein. That's the bad cholesterol. The opposite is high-density lipoprotein, HDL. Is considered a good cholesterol because it measures the amount of cholesterol that is removed from your arteries back to the liver. You'll find the good fats in olive oil, avocado oil, soybean oil, and vegetable oil. Try these tips to reduce unhealthy fats in your diet. Use oil instead of butter. For example, saute with olive oil instead of butter and use canola oil when baking. Eat fish rich in omega-3 fatty acids such as salmon instead of meat at least twice a week. Choose lean meat and skinless poultry. Trim visible fat from meat before cooking. Remove fat and skin from poultry. Limit processed foods which often contain saturated fat. Instead, reach for whole fruits and vegetables when you're hungry. And these suggestions come from the Mayo Clinic News Network. Like many others with egg allergies or sensitivities, Nicole Atchison knows eggs aren't just used in scrambles. They show up in all kinds of products and recipes. So the food company executive set out to develop a plant-based alternative that would work in a creme brulee as well as in a breakfast burrito. The result is AcreMade, the first consumer product from the Minneapolis-based Purus, a leading pea protein supplier. We really wanted to bring something that was allergen-friendly and could be used in a variety of ways, not just to scramble, said Ms. Atkinson, CEO of Purus Holdings and AcreMade. Ultimately, it's got to deliver on taste and appeal, and we feel we have a great product. The powdered egg replacement, made largely with yellow peas, has had a limited retail rollout since it hit the market last fall. And the early focus will be in food service, where Ms. Atkinson hopes chefs can unlock the product's potential and boost the new product's sales. That's going to expose people to plant-based foods. That's just delicious, she said. Vegan egg alternatives are slower to arrive than other plant-based categories, but they've grown just as rapidly, from $3 million in sales in 2018 to $39 million last year, according to the Good Food Institute. But just a small fraction of Americans, about 2%, report buying plant-based eggs in 2021. It's important to understand who our core customers are in the beginning, Ms. Atkins said. People who are leaning plant-based looking for more sustainable options or who have egg allergies. Globally, the market for vegan eggs could pass $3 billion over the next decade, according to FactMR report, even as hen-laid egg consumption is expected to continue climbing. As in the case with much of the food industry, Minnesota has quietly become the hub for plant-based eggs, just egg, which accounts for the vast majority of plant-based egg sales, has had a manufacturing facility in Appleton, Minnesota since 2019. Nearly all the mung bean protein used in the company's liquid egg alternative is extracted in Appleton and sent to facilities that produce the finished product. Separating the protein from the bean requires talent, proprietary processing, and a supportive community. Today, the company employs 50 people, about 20% of the small California-based company's total headcount. Just incorporated, added 10,000 square feet of production space in Minnesota this year, intends to keep growing as demand increases. Ms. Eskin said there's room for and a need for more players in the alternative egg market. And I can remember being in the Navy, and we were the guinea pigs for dried eggs and dried potatoes, and we had one cook aboard ship. We've run out of time for this episode of Thought for Food. Be sure to tune in next time. This has been Bob Krueger, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138.